Let's dive right in. Yesterday in shiur, we only had a chatzi shiur. So the time worked out, and we used the time to sort of lay the groundwork for beginning to appreciate where the Gemara is coming from, where it's going to. Now we're ready to dive right in. We have a Mishnah, Lamadal Mabez, and our Masechta Masech is getting Perek HaSholech, the fourth Perek. In the series of Takanos from Pnei Tikkun Olam, the Mishnah mentions the bottom Mishnah Lamadal Mabez, the last of the three Takanos mentioned in that Mishnah, Hillel Hiskin Prozbo Pnei Tikkun Ha'olam, which tells me, in a very compressed form, a number of ideas that appear at greater length, as our Gemara points out in Laflam Avav, appears at greater length in the whole Perek Yud of Masech HaShviyah, is dedicated to Shemitzas Ksafim. Our Mishnah, that one sentence, tells you, number one, there is a Din of Shemitzas Ksafim, which we know from the Chumash as well. And there was a problem, and Hillel's Prusbel was a solution. The problem, the Gemara here, Adaf Lamed Vav, opens by quoting the Perek Yud Mishnah Gimel in Shavias. What was the problem? What about the Olam needed Tikkun? So what did the Mishnah in Shavias say? What was the issue? The Kol Shmitas Ksafim, what was happening? People were in law, Nimnu Ha'om Elahavu Zezah. People were very hesitant to make loans as Shemitah drew closer. And number one, practically, that's an economic concern for a potential lovim. It was a hard time getting credit, a hard time getting loans for whatever you need the money for. And as the Mishnah points out, it's a spiritual issue for the malva. He's violating a law of Daraisa. We saw that the Rambam counts it as a separate law of Daraisa. He mentions it in the Sefer HaMitzvos. We saw he mentioned the closing halacha per halacha lamed of Perek Tes of Shemitah of Yovel. It's a law to withhold a loan because of your concern about Shemitah. As an aside, by the way, I mentioned some chevra after Shir yesterday with Shlomo Zalman. It's a fascinating discussion. Halacha lemaisa. Well, so I have to lend this. Now it's already El of Shnas HaShemitah. Shemitah's Ksaf is just a couple of weeks away. So anyone can ask me for a loan and I have to say yes? If you don't lend money in during El Shnas HaShemitah, you're automatically violating Lav Daraisa. How are you talking? So Shlomo Zalman says, no, you look at it's the Mashmos of the Pasuk, and he's Medayik in the language of the Rambam, that's only, if I wouldn't have lent you money 2 years ago either, you're just a bad credit risk. Either you're dishonest, or you're just irresponsible, or just forgetful. I'm just worried that I would never lend you money, because it's just never going to come back. Even if you're an honest person, you're an absent-minded professor, and I'm just never going to get the money back. Or you have this business plan, you want me to invest in the business you want to launch, and I look at your plans and I don't think it holds water. I don't think you're gonna even make back the principal. I would never, if it's too risky for whatever reason, I wouldn't lend money to you anyways, then there's no law of not lending money now. That's what Shlomo Zalman points out. Halach perek tes halach lam the Rambam, nimmi, if you're nimna mila halvos, it's not stam that you're not allowed to say no to a loan request right before Shemitah. It's you can't say no to a loan request because you're worried about Shemitah. If I would have said no to you anyways, any year in the cycle, so then there's nothing wrong with saying no now. It's not like a kol poshit, not like Hilchas Purim, like kol poshit diagnosed loan. It's not like anyone can ask for a loan, you have to get your loan. No. Okay. But Lamaisa, there's a mitzvah say and a los say of not the letting go of the loans once Shemitah comes and goes, and not chas v'shalom to be no geis, not chas v'shalom to try to collect a loan that's been canceled. And an earlier lav, later in the psukim, but on the calendar earlier, not to withhold, not to not make a loan, not to not extend yourself because I'm worried, well, Shemitah's coming. Okay. So because of that, Hillel sees a problem. Right? People were violating this law. Lamaisa, many Jews were not making loans because they were worried Shemitah's Ksafin is going to come and go and lose my money. People were violating the law of Daraisa. So what did he do? He's Misakin Prozbul. That's the 3 points in our Mishnah. The Din of Shemitah's Ksafin, there was a problem. Nimno Amil Halvos. And the solution was He was misakin principle, and the Mishnah goes on. The next Gemara quotes the next Mishnah goes on to explain. You have a star that records that you appeared in front of a Beis Din, and you made some sort of declaration, and then the Beis Din gives you a star to attest to it, and now with that star, you are good to go. Any loan that you had already lent out, you already made the loan, you already lent out the money before you made the prusbul covers it, the prusbul shmita proofs your loan. Good. The Gemara says, now let's dig into the Gemara. So the Gemara says, let's start and go straight and then step back and try to figure this out. Eight, nine lines off the bottom line of Umi Ika Midi Demi Doraisa Mishamta Shvias, the Hiskin Hilo Dalamishamta. How could it be, could there be a thing, Mi Ika Midi could be a thing, that Mina Torah Shvias is Mishamit? Mina Torah Shvias does cancel loan, and somehow Hilo makes a dinger abundant, and if you do this and that, it doesn't cancel. How could that be? How could that be? Amar Abaye. In other words, how does Hillel have the koach to be Oker Din Daraisa? Min HaTorah, I'm not allowed to collect the loan. Min HaTorah, you don't owe me the money anymore. And the loan is gone. And Midrabanan, you do owe me the money. Midrabanan, go knock on your door after Rosh Hashanah and say, Rebbe, pay up. What do you mean? Min HaTorah, there's a Shemitah. So that was kasha number one. How does Prisbel work? Just see how does Prisbel work versus Shemitah Daraisa. How do you have a Prisbel work Midrabanan versus the Shemitah Daraisa? So what was the bias? Teretz? Bias Teretz is, it's not a Shemitah Daraisa. Amar Abaye b'shvi'is b'zman hazeh b'rebihi. Right? Abaye's Teretz is, Hillel holds like his great-great-grandson Rebbe that Shmita B'Zmanazah is not Daraisa. Why is that? Tisanya, we have a Braisa. Rebbe says, Zed Devar Shmita Shamot, we spent some time on this yesterday. The language, he's sensitive to the language of the Psukim. It sounds like there are two different Shemitahs being addressed in this Pasuk. Two different concepts in one Pasuk, we call that a Hekesh. That tells me that those two concepts share certain halachic features. So, Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Ksafim go hand in hand. So, when, clearly Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Ksafim don't apply in this geographically in the same places, Rashi seems to be sensitive to, and the Ran quotes it also. Shemitah's Karka applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Like any mitzvah tluy bar, Shemitah's Ksafim applies all over the world. So we're not equating them in terms of place, but we are equating them according to Bionasi in terms of time. Bizman, not b'makam, but bizman. Shatim shamei karka, shatim shamei ksafim. At time in Jewish history, when you had Shemitah's karka, always you had Shemitah's ksafim. Bizman shiyatim shamei karka, I ata shamei ksafim. There's a time in Jewish history when there's no Shemitah's karka in the Torah, and therefore there's no Shemitah's ksafim in the Torah. That's the position of Rebbe, and Abaye says that must be a position of Hillel. The whole notion of Prusbul is based on the assumption that to begin with, there's no Shemitah's Ksafim min HaTorah. So then why is there even need for a Prusbul? Because the Gemara goes on to explain, Takina Rabban the Avdeiz, Takina Rabban the Tishman Zeicher L'Shvias. The Shemitah B'Zman HaZeh, there is a Shemitah B'Zman HaZeh, that's only Midrabanan. Chazal Masak in it, after Shemitah Daraisa ceased, after Shemitah Daraisa stopped, Chazal came along and said, we're going to create a Shemitah Drabanan, Zecher L'Shvias. We shouldn't forget that there is such a concept as Shvias. So we create a Shemitah Drabanan. Create a Shemitah Drabanan. So the whole din is only Drabanan. So hey Mamru, hey Mamru. If Chazal are creating a din Drabanan, they can build in whatever exceptions they need to build in. Ra Hillel Shenimna Amel Ahalvo Zezeh, the top of Lamed Vavam Beis, Omad Behiskin Prusbul. So that is Abaye's first kasha and Abaye's teretz. A couple of footnotes just to recap and add a little bit to what we spoke about yesterday in terms of this notion of Shemitah Bezman Hazeh. So you remember that Rashi, Tosfos raises 2 points, which I think I mentioned very, very briefly. I'll mention them just again to make sure they're clear. And then this long, the Tosfos that wraps around, Divi Masal Bezman, makes 2 points. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi on 2 points. The first thing that Rabbeinu Tam says is widely accepted. The second thing that Rabbeinu Tam says is widely rejected. Because Rashi had said that the drasha of Rebbe, well, the drasha was Shemitas Kaker, Shemitas Ksafim. So Rashi said, yeah, I mean, you know, the agricultural halachas of the Shnas HaShemitah and the financial, monetary halachas of the Shnas HaShemitah. That's the hekesh. Right? And he said, and why is there no Shemitah? The no Shemitah is stuff into the no Shemitah's karka. Rashi said, and why is the no Shemitah's karka? Where did that come from? So Rashi says, well, we're not talking about it here, but you should know that comes from, there's a chain. If there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah's karka. No Shemitah's karka, no Shemitah's ksafim. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Right? And number one, that's how he understands the drasha. Number two, Rashi says, when did Yovel stop applying, and therefore Shemitah's ksafim in HaTorah? So Rashi says that already the whole second period, second base HaMikdash, there was no Yovel, because you didn't have Rov Yosh, like we discussed yesterday, you didn't have most of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, you certainly didn't have the Shvatim living by Shevet, the way it was described in Chumash and in Sefer Yehoshua. So that's why throughout the Bayi Sheni period, Rashi says there was no Yovel. And it's discussed yesterday, right? This goes back to the end of the Bayi Rishon period, when Malchus Ashur, when the Assyrian empire comes by and conquers the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim, and takes them out and puts the Kusim in their place. So at that point, the Galus Aseres HaShvatim, which happens towards the end of the Bayi Rishon period, in the days around the time of Yeshayahu and Chizkiah, so that at that point in time, Yovel stops, because you don't have Kol Yoshveh HaAleha, you don't have the Shvatim living by Shevet, Yovel stops, Shemitah's Karka stops, Shemitah's Ksafim stops. So those are the 2 points that Rashi makes in terms of the Din, the Oraisa. Number one, the Drasha in our Gemara is comparing the two halves of the Halachas of Shemitah, and number two, it's all rooted back in Yovel, which stopped applying towards the end of the Bayis Rishon period. Rabbeinu Tam separately attacks both points. The first attack he has is widely accepted. Most Rishonim agree with Rabbeinu Tam's first point, but most Rishonim agree with Rashi on the second point. How so? Rabbeinu Tam, if you want, we're not going to look at Tosfos inside because we're going in a different direction. You should just have the background. This is the Tosfos Bizman. The first point Tosfos makes is that, well, how do you know that Yovel is no Yovel? How do you know no Yovel, no Shemitah? He says, that's because Yerushalmi, as Rashi himself had quoted, Yerushalmi darshan Shemitah Shamot to connect Yovel and Shemitah. But our Gemara is connecting Shemitah and Shemitah. Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Ksafim. So Rabbeinu Tam says, and most Rishonim agree with him, the word Shemitah's Karka here doesn't mean what we usually mean by Shemitah's Karka. Shemitah's Karka here means Yovel. Because Yovel is all about land. There's no din of money by Yovel. So Rabbeinu Tam says, make everything smooth and streamlined. The Bavli is saying the same as Yerushalmi. That when the Gemara had the drasha, Bizman she'ayat v'shamei karki, v'shamei ksafim, that meant Yovel and Shemitah. Okay. Whatever it is, everyone agrees that ultimately, when there's no Yovel, eventually there's no Shemitah's ksafim either. The other point Rabbeinu Tam makes, which is wild, he thinks that there was Shemitas, it was Yovel during the Bayi Sheni period. He has proofs. Of course, the Rishonim push back, and they say Hillel lived during the Bayi Sheni. You mean during the Hillel? According to the time, Hillel made the Takana of Prusbul that would only apply many years later after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. That's what the time argues, and the other Rishonim rejected. Okay, so those are our footnotes. Again, let's just recap. Let's recap. Again, the kash number one was, how do you have a takana of Prusbul? How does Hillel undo a Shemitah Daraisa? So the Gemara answers, Abaye answers, Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is not Daraisa. Some hold it is, but Rebbe holds it's not. As Rashi had said, look in the Torah's Kohanim, in the Sifra, there are Tanam who hold that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is Daraisa. Okay, Rebbe does. Rebbe says Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is not Daraisa. Hillel, who's Masakin Prusbul, must have held the way, and that's why he was Masakin the Prusbul. Shemitah Bizman Hazeh lav daraisa, which means, Me'ator, there's no Shemitah, Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is Drabanan. V'nitan, That's why you can make a takana approvable to act on a Shemitah Drabbanan. Okay. So there's no question. And Abai says in Achanami, if you will hold like the Chachamim, that the Shemitah is the right, so you would never have a approvable. Abai says, if you hold a approvable, that means you hold the Shemitah B'Nazeh as Rabbah. So, good. Again, why? We just had a footnote now. Why Shemitah B'Nazeh not Daraisa? It's ultimately learned from Yovel. Rashi Tosis argue over the details of how you get from Yovel to Shemitah K'safim. Okay. But everyone agrees you go from Yovel to Shemitah K'safim, and at some point it stopped applying. I mean, you know, Tom has an unusual position that was only with the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Most Rishon agree with Rashi that it already stopped applying when at the time the Gulf of Sarah Shoshvat to the end of the Bayis Rishon. Okay. Now the Gemara says, one second. This opens up Kasha number two. Let's take a look inside, and then we'll take more questions.
Frek de Gemara.
You just mentioned Shemitah D'Rabbanan. You solved one problem, but you opened up a new problem. You told me, well, Prusbul, I understand how Prusbul works, because the underlying Shemitah nowadays is only Drabbanan. Versus the underlying Shemitah is Drabbanan. How does that work? Who ever heard of such a thing? Mi'ika midi, this is kasha number two, the third line in Lamed Vav Beis. Mi'ika midi midaraisa l'masham tishviyas v'takin Rabbanan tishvet. Before I was bothered, how could it be that the Torah, there is a Shemitah, and Chazal Masakein, Prusbul, no Shemitah. Now I'm bothered, the same kasha reverse. Min HaTorah, there's no Shemitah nowadays, because there's no Yovel. So min HaTorah, I owe you the money. But min Drabbanan, I don't owe you the money. How does that work? Forget about Prusbul, now we're bothered. Now, instead of being bothered by Prusbul, now we're bothered with the whole notion of a Shemitah Drabbanan versus a Chov Daraisa. I mean, Torah, I owe you money. And the rabbis come along and say, oh, Midrabanan, we're making Shemitah. Min HaTorah, there's no Shemitah stuff because no Yovel. But Midrabanan, Zeichel HaShvius, we're making Shemitah. So Min HaTorah, I owe Posey the money. But Midrabanan, I don't. How does that work? That's also not Kira's Dover, Min HaTorah. How does that work? How could it be? Yeah, what do you say, Shmuel? I'm sorry? One second. Min HaTorah, if we all like review Hanasi, so Min HaTorah, without doing any prizzle or anything, Min HaTorah, when in a couple weeks from now, when Erev Rosh Hashanah comes and goes, Min HaTorah, nothing changes. Right? Because there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah stuff. Right? So Min HaTorah, only one. Midrabanan, they said, well, if you make a prizzle, you still owe the money. But if you don't make a prizzle, then the Shemitah, then it gets canceled. So, how did that happen? They were Masakin and a Shemitah Drabbanan, and then Hillel said, but sometimes we'll have an exception to the exception. Prusbul will keep the loan alive. We need Prusbul to keep the loan alive. How do the rabbis have the authority to say we're creating a Shemitah Drabbanan? Chananel lent me money. So I have to pay him back. That's a din the Chumash. So how do the Chachamim say you don't have to pay him back? If the Chumash says, but Shemitah's Ksafim, okay, so the Chumash is giving an exception to itself. But if there's no Shemitah's Ksafim, so how do you have an Akira's Dover? So here you have two Teirutzim. Yeah, what are you going to say? Can see him?
Why doesn't the Gemara say this every time there's a Zayr with the Rabbana? That have the Rabbana say that, let's say that the Shabbos is official, you can't do this with the pot, because you're not going to stop the cold.
Good question. Why isn't every single there? We have hundreds, if not thousands, of Zeros Rabbanim throughout Shas. Why are we asking about every single Zeros Rabbanim? Good. The answer is most Zeros Rabbanim don't bother us because there's no din d'oraisa that let's say for instance muktzah, right? Or tiltul kli shemalach talisa. Here I'm holding in my hand a dry erase marker because today is Thursday. But 2 days from now, Midrabanan, I'm not allowed to hold this in my hand. I'm not allowed to handle a dry erase marker. Shabbos Kodesh, it's Muktzah. It's Kli Shemach Talisr. Min HaTorah, I am allowed to handle it. Maybe I'm not allowed to write with it. But I'm allowed to handle it. Or even better, have a pen. Dry erase marker is temporary. But to write with this pen, it would be a Malacha Daraisa. But to handle the pen, Min HaTorah, if I want to handle the pen and play with the pen on Shabbos but not write with it, Min HaTorah that's mutter. Midrabanan, they say you're not allowed to even do a tiltal on the pen. But we're not bothered, how could the Chachamim forbid tiltal? Because why? Because there's no chiyuv. It's not like min HaTorah I'm a chiyuv to hold the pen. And the Chazal says don't. Min HaTorah, it's a rishus. You want to hold the pen, hold the pen. You want to hold the pen, don't hold the pen. So the Chacham come along and say, what used to be mutter is now usser. That doesn't bother me. That's not akiras davar min Torah. That's classic gzeiras rabbanan. It used to be mutter, it used to be optional, and now he said you cannot. Or it used to be optional, now he said you must. Min haTorah, you're not mechuyev to read Megillas Esther on Purim. You can if you want to. You're not mechuyev to. Min haTorah, you're not mechuyev to light Neros, the end of Kislev, the beginning of Teves. There's nothing wrong with lighting Neros in your front window or Al Pesach Beis or Pesach Achatzar. I'm not mechuyev. Chazal came along and said, Midrabanan, you're mechuyev to light Neros Hanukkah. You're mechuyev to have Mikra Megillah. You're mechuyev to do Tehillat Sedayim. That doesn't bother me because it's not. They're not telling me to violate the Daraisa. Min HaTorah, if you want to wash your hands, wash your hands. You don't want to wash your hands, don't want to wash your hands. You want to read a Megillah, good of the day. You don't want to, don't. You want to light Nereshet? Or, when they make an Isser, Min HaTorah, you want to handle the pen on Shabbos? Do. You don't want to, don't. So if it's a Devar HaRishus, and then the Chacham come along and say, you must, or you may not, that doesn't bother me. That's the vast majority of Din Drabanan. But every once in a while, I have a Din Drabanan, where it's not just, it was Min HaTorah, it was optional, and the Chachamim locked me into one particular line of behavior, but Min HaTorah, it's supposed to be this way, Chachamim say, no, instead it should be that way. Like, Min HaTorah, you have a loan, you have to pay it back. And Midrabanan, they said, no, don't pay back. Similar to, as you Min HaTorah, I'm a chuyu to blow a shofar, even if Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, but Midrabanan, they said, don't. That would be surprising. Or if I would have something which is treif, the Chazal would tell me you're mechuyev to eat it, or you're allowed to eat it. How could that? That's when it bothers me. When they tell me not just that Min HaTorah it's open ended and Midrabanan here's our requirement, but Min HaTorah you're supposed to do this, or Dafka not supposed to do this, the Chachamim are up telling me to violate Din Daraisa. So that's what we're saying over here. How could it be? Let's see more of the Gemara, and then we'll take more questions. Billy Netter. Nachamo, mi'ika midi, third line on Vav and Beis, mi'ika midi, the midi oraisa lo misham to shviyas. Min HaTorah shviyas does not cancel alone. As Rashi says, b'zman hazeh kerebi. V'amor rabbanon detishmet. But the Chachamim come along and say, it does cancel, says Rashi. Rashi is bothered by the questions. Well, what's wrong with that? V'nimtza ha'lo v'gazel, and I'll pay him. You're a Goslin. Let's say I borrowed money. Let's say I borrowed money from Aryeh Leib. Yeah. So I owe him $100. So I have to pay back. If I don't pay him back, I'm a Goslin. The Chum come along and say, don't pay him back. I mean, they're telling me to be a Goslin. Min HaTorah, I'm a Goslin. When we draw a button, we're canceling the loan. Okay, but Min HaTorah, it's there. So how does that work? Min HaTorah, I'm a Goslin. That's not just telling me to do something which is optional or not to do something which is optional. You're not allowed to opt to not pay your debts. Paying your loans, paying your debts back is not like an option in Judaism. It's an obligation. You're mechuyev to pay your debts. So how did Chacham tell me, ignore your chiyuv daraisa to pay back your debts? Again, if he decides to, maybe if a guy comes over and says, you know, I lent $20, forget about it. Okay, so he decides to tell me forget about it, one thing. But he's not. Chacham are saying, no, don't pay back. So I'm never going to come over to him. I'm not allowed to, if I borrowed money from Natan, I'm not allowed to just ignore him and never talk to him. I should not never talk to him. And number two, if I owe him money, I can't, ignoring him and managing never bumping into him does not absolve me of my requirement in Torah to pay my debts. I'm a Gazan. I violate a little Sashok, maybe, more precisely. It's Oshek, a form of Gazan. I'm withholding that which is legitimately yours. So how did the Chacham tell me to be a Goslin? How are you talking? I'm a Goslin, and I'm doing the right thing. How does that make any sense? Oh, so to that, the Gemara says, well, Abaye once again, and then Rava has a comment. Amar Abaye. Abaye had answered the first kasha, and now he answers the second kasha. Abaye says, the teretz of Abaye is, what's Abaye's teretz? Why is this not a problem? Sheva al tasa. Well, it's a sheva al tasa. We're not telling you to actively do something wrong. We're telling you to passively not do what you're mechuyev to in the Torah. And that is okay. Rav, and then the Gemara says, Rava says, Hefker, Beisdin, Hefker. Rava says that Beisdin has the right to literally to declare my money onus. Do I go down to Kotu Psukim? And we'll get back to the Tupsukim. Pasuk from Yahushua, Pasuk from Ezra, that both give examples of this idea that a Beisdin has authority over ownership of items. So the Beisdin can declare that's no longer your assurance. And anyone else can come and take it. They can render it hefker. They can say that green sweatshirt, no longer yours. First come, first serve. The Beisdin declares, everyone's why see around yeshiva. They have signs up that people left their swarm around the Beis Medrash. And you left your swarm around the Beis Medrash. You left. And it's been a year and a half. And they make an announcement. And another, if you don't claim within the next, couple weeks, we're going to declare it hefker. And then whoever, we're going to sell it or we're going to give it away. And if you want your swarm, come get them before the deadline. Because after that deadline, hefker, bezdin, hefker. That's based on that concept appears in several places in the Shas. One of the most significant is right here, and the Gemara goes on to give two psukim. Two psukim that are sources for this idea. One is a pasuk in Ezra. He says, everyone's mechuyev to come to the meeting we're going to have, the whole kehila. Whoever doesn't come to the meeting, we are going to declare, he was playing for keeps. He says, if you don't show up to the meeting, the punishment is we're going to render your property ownerless. That's a pretty strong incentive to show up. That's one way of enforcing attendance. And then there's a pasuk from Yoshua that another Amora quotes that also makes it sound like the Beis Din has the right to give things out. Just like Yerusha, the parent is giving out assets to the children. So too, the Beis Din has the right to redistribute assets. Okay, so those are Abaye and Rava. Sheva Atasa, Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Interesting. Where did this come from? Or where did it? There for what? That's why Malata violated Din Daraisa? So the truth is yes. If you look in the Sugi Yabamas, we've been talking about the Gemara Yabamas is the mothership of this question of Akira's Davar Min HaTorah. I gave some of you who took a look inside, and I gave you a little bit of a summary over here. At the beginning of the 10th paragraph of Yivamas, the Gemara's Machlokes Rav Chisda and Rav. Rav Chisda says, on Peites Amud Aleph, beginning of the 10th paragraph of Masechet Yivamas, Rav Chisda says, Peites Amud Aleph, that if the Chacham are making a Din Drabanan, they can tell you to violate Din Daraisa. Rav Chisda says, make a little room here, Peites Amud Aleph, Rav Chisda says, "Yesh koach, yad chachamim, lakar, davar, minatorah." Rav Chisda says, "Yeah. If there's a legitimate reason to make a din drabanan, then they can make a din drabanan even against a din daraisa. They can tell you that this minatorah is truma of a drabanan. It's not truma. Whatever they need to do. And on daf peites on the base." There's a whole discussion there, then Peites Beis, Rava says, what on earth? Who? Rav Chisda, what are you talking about? He says, no, Chas v'Shalom, ein koach, v'yad chachamim, lakar dav min haTorah. Chazal can make that which is mutter aser, but they cannot make that which is aser mutter. Chazal can make that which is rishus into chiyuv, but they can't make that which is a chiv into Rishos. That's the machlokas, Rava and Rav Chisda. Yesh koach b'yad chachamim or ein koach b'yad chachamim. And then Rav Chisda piles on. We would have guessed like Rava. We were probably surprised to even hear that there's an Amora who thinks that the chacham can undo din d'oraisa. But in fact, it's a big machlokas. And Rav Chisda has a lot of kashas against Rava. He says, really? I'll show you this Mishnah and that price, or this Mishnah and that price, or all these examples. So ultimately, Rava has to agree Rava has to agree. Rava has to agree. Even Rava says, well, ain koach except for their yotze min hakvat. There are exceptions. What? Yesh koach lachar in certain cases. So on Peites on the days, Rava says, yesh koach lachar when it's dine maminus. Hefker, Rava agrees that Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. That's on Daf Peites. On Daf Tzadi, he says, ah, I agree. If it's Shev, Al Tasa, then Yesh Koach Laka. So that's why, for instance, Rav Chista says, oh, I was going to ask you, what do you do with Shofar on Shabbos? I was going to ask you, what do you do with Lulav on Shabbos? I was going to ask you, what do you do with the fact that Midrash Min HaTorah, a linen garment is chayv and tzitzis, but Midrash Rabbanan it's not? I was going to ask you all these questions. I was going to ask you about cases where Min HaTorah, someone's supposed to bring Karban Pesach. The ger becomes a ger right before Pesach. Min HaTorah, you went to Mikvah to bring Karban Pesach. Midrash Rabbanan, we say you got to wait a week. So if you become a ger in less than a week before Pesach, wait till next year. All these cases where you had this mitzvah to do, and the rabbis say, don't do it. Don't blow shofar. Don't bring Karban Pesach. Don't shake a lulav. Don't have tzitzis on your four-cornered garment. So that's, and that you have in front of you, here in the packet, even if you didn't bring along a Maseches Yevamos. Boy, Amar Lei, here's the top of Tzayim Beis. Rav Chisda says to Rabba, Amar Lei, and Rashi says, because it gets a little confusing, it's confusing for us because I'm parachuting you into the middle of the sugya, but even if you were learning Yevamos straight, it's a little confusing. So that's where the top Rashi says, Amar Lei, Rav Chisda, L'Rabba. L'Rabba. V'chis says to Rava, Bo'i lo'osuvach, I was going to ask you another seven kashas, another seven rayos, to my opinion, that yesh koach b'yachon lakadav min haTorah. I was going to ask you about Orel, that Orel is the case I just gave, of the fellow becomes a ger right before, within a week before Pesach, min haTorah should bring Karban Pesach, as we drop bottom, we say, you need at least a week between your gerus and Karban Pesach. What do you mean? They're telling me not to eat Karban Pesach. I was going to tell you that. I mean, it's sadden betzitzis. The case of linen garment. Min haTorah chayv in tzitzis. Min Rabban Chazal said, wear it without the tzitzis. And shofar, and lulav, and the other cases. Rav Chisda says, Rabba, ooh, I had a whole stack of kashas waiting for you. I was going to pelt you with kashas. But, now that you told me that you admit that yesh koach lachar, v'shem al tasa, hashta. Here's the top of Tzara Beis Nivamas. Now that you told me that you agree that Sheval Tasa, the rabbis, can be Oker, so Kulu Nami Sheval Tasa. All those cases that he gave me. I realize that you have a. Rav Chisda was intellectually honest, as all good people should be, and as all legitimate Talmidei Chachamim are. He said, I had another seven kashas to ask you, but now I realize that the Teretz you just gave me answers the next seven kashas also. So I'm not going to give you a hard time. You gave a good teretz. I'm not gonna throw those kashas at you. You gave me a teretz. Okay. So what do we have? Let's recap what we see in Yevamos. Let's bring it back here. The main sugya. Can the chachamim undo the din daraisa when they make a din drabbanan? Not. It is. We would have assumed intuitively, of course, they cannot. But in fact, it's a machlokas amarad. In Yevamos Daf Peites between Rav Chisda and Rabba. And what emerges by the end of the sugya is that it's not a machlokas like this, it's a machlokas like this. Because Rav Chisda says it's always yesh koach lachar. Chacham always have the right, whenever they make a din drabbanan, to be oker davar Torah. Rava says, well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. In principle, no, but there are different sorts of case, categories of cases where they can. There are three or four categories. Two of them are Hefker, Bezin, Hefker, and Daf Peites and Yevamos, and Shev Al Tas and Daf Tzadi and Yevamos. Okay. So this is pre-existing. Before we get to our sugya, those are the rules. Rav Chisda says, Yesh Koach Lachar, Davar Min HaTorah. And Rav Rabba says more narrowly, Yesh koch lakar b'sheval tase, Yesh koch lakar ayidei hefker bezen hefker. Good. So now you come to our sugya. Looking at our sugya in the context of Yivamas, so what strikes you? So number one, what do you learn about the sugya Yivamas from Gittin, and then what do you learn about Gittin from Yivamas? Yeah. The most fundamental question you would ask about the sugya Yivamas is, how do we pass them? How do we pass them? Meshev to poisner is that's section and so pashat how we pass them. Yerushalmi seems to pass like Rechista. There are toasts in a few places that seem to wonder how we pass them. What do you see from the Gemara in Gittin?
That even it's a lot.
Well, what do you see from the Gemara in Gittin for starters? Do we pass like Rechista or like Rava?
Rava,
right?
Both.
Well, yes, but the Gemara's Kasha, the whole Kasha, the premise of the Kasha is that we hold like Rabba. How could it be? Mi'ika midi. And the Gemara didn't just ask it as a Kasha, the Gemara said, like, at most the Pshit, the Tema, do you ever hear such a wild idea that the rabbis can undo a din? I've never heard of such a thing. Both Kashas are like, Mi'ika midi, ah! So the Gemara taken it down from, and the Gemara didn't say, yeah, of course, Krista said, it's fine. So the sugya in Gittin clearly is assuming like Rava. You get the impression, not the only place, so you get the impression here that the maskan of the Talmud Bavli, all the dust settles, is what we pass like Rav Chisda and Talmud's opinion, but we pass in like Rava. Certainly Rava's Talmidim, Rava and Abaye, both held like their Rebbe Rava, not like their Rebbe's Rebbe Rav Chisda, because they're both working within Rava. Moreover, each one is quoting one of Rabba's Teretzim, right? So now, on the one hand, the Sugya and Gittin shows blind and Yivamas, we see how we pass. If the open machlok is there, but here it's a milsa pshita like Rabba, so you get the impression that the maskanas of Sugya is like Rabba. And then you look at, if you look at Yivamas, you understand where Abai and Rabba are coming from. If you just learn Gittin without learning Yivamas, you're not sure where this fall from. Shabbat, Tasa, Hefka, Hefka, what does it all mean? No! This is part of Shita. This is the Shita. Rabba said, the Yishkoch Laker b'Shaval Tasa, Yishkoch Laker b'Hefker b'Ezen Hefker. So Abai and Rava look at this problem. They each one quotes one of their Rebbe's ideas. Abai says, this is Hefker b'Ezen Hefker, and this is Shaval Tasa. And Rabba says, this is Hefker b'Ezen Hefker. But now, as you dig further, then you start to wonder about the given our awareness of the Sugya and Yivamas, certain features of the Shakvataria and Gittin become a little more challenging. B'chlal, you always wonder, I hear a couple of kashas. B'chlal, whenever you see this, a kash for the two terutzim, you often wonder, why did Abai give his teretz? Why did Rava give his teretz? Right. Why did Abai choose Shaval Tasa rather than Hefker and Hefker? Why did Rava choose Hefker and Hefker rather than Shaval Tasa? Legitimate questions anyways. But all the more so if they're both true. They're both Abai and Rava are according to Rebbe Rava. Who held of both of them? He says, some cases are Yeshkov Hak because of Hefker and Hefker. Other cases, Yesh Kol Ha'ah because of Shaval Tasa. So once you know that Rabba held the both, and that's why, employ one or the other, whichever you need, so then you wonder more. Yes, it sounds, in light of Yivamas, Gittin sounds, sounds very familiar. And very familiar, then why is it why would it become Machloikas? Machloikas by Rabba? I thought we held the both then. So you begin to wonder even more poignantly than you would otherwise, why did Abai not give Rava's teretz? Why did Rava not give Abai's teretz? Plus, you might also wonder something that some of the Rishonim are bothered by, which is if these aren't ideas that Abai and Rava came up with now. Abai didn't come up with Shaval Tasa in response to Kasha number 2 in Gittin Lamed Vav. And Rava didn't come up with Hefker Bezen Hefker in response to Kasha number 2 in Gittin Lamed Vav. I mean, Rava says, but the Gemara goes on to quote, there were earlier Amoraim, Yitzchak Rebbe Elazar, who had Psukim. But anyways, this is part of the classic Sugya Yivamas. This is the allgemeiner answer. This is a general answer to questions of how do you see it, how do you understand the situation of Yesh Koach Lavan. Then you have to ask yourself, well, so then why don't we give the teretz earlier? Why don't we use this the first time around? Prusbul! How do you have a prusbul? I shvita daraisa. So Abaye said, well, it must be the Hillel holds like Rabbi Yudan, Hillel holds like Rabbi Yudanasi. Why don't you say, Shef Altasi, where's the Efker? Let's go. Why are you waiting until Kasha number two to give the what appear to be the stronger, certainly more global answers? Right? The first Abai's answer to the first Kasha was very local. It was only relevant to specifically Prusbul and Shemitah. It happens to be that Shemitah was Mazdez, Rabbanan, da 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 da, so Prusbul is not a problem. A line later, you're going to give the much more powerful, much more global, B'chol Tarakula, universal answers, that, well, we have principles of Shev Altas and Hefker and Hefker. So why didn't you pull that out earlier? Why didn't you pull that out earlier? So those are some of the kashas that might bother you about the Shach V'Tayah. Why is, in kasha number two, why is Abai not giving Rava's answer? Why is Rava not giving Abai's answer? And then B'chalal, why isn't either answer appearing earlier? Why isn't either answer appearing earlier? Why did it take so long to pull out the Yisodos? At first, just giving the Schnipselach, the details. And maybe we'll also have to think about those two psukim. So what I want to do for now, so these are, we have a sugya Yivamas. And we have 3 minutes, which is good. Let's recap, and then I'll leave you with food for thought. We have a sugya in Yevamos, Yisodos. We have our sugya in Gittin. And on the one hand, our sugya in Gittin resonates more once you see it's in the context, not just a world unto itself, it's in the context of the mothership, the sugya in Yevamos. But on the other hand, as I said, the shock of Atariya problems in our sugya become heightened once you realize we've heard of Sheval Tasa and Hefkwes and Hefkwes before. So why is each one only saying one, and why aren't they raising it earlier? And answering, and this is where I told you that the detailed questions of Shaka Vatari are going to lead to big vistas in the answer. And here's the beginning of a big vista. There's a Rajba, and there's a Rush. The Rajba wants to know, as we began to talk about earlier, he's in the sugya of Baal Tosef. How come the Chacham had the right to tell me to blow shofar more than min haTorah I need to? Isn't that Baal Tosef's asakasha? Isn't that Baal Tosef? So the Rajba Tosef has his answer. The Rajba says, I think the answer is it's never Baal Tosef if it's a legitimate din rabban. Baal Tosef, when you go rogue, we talked about it earlier today, you go rogue, I decide to add a flower to my, I make a personal decision, I'm adding a flower to my lulav, that's Baal Tosef. I decide as a kohen, I'm going to add a fourth pasuk to my bracha, that's Baal Tosef. But it's a legitimate din rabbanan, not Baal Tosef. And he says, I'll prove it to you. The rabbis tell me, don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos. You saw the sugi in Rosh Hashanah. Goes, how mean it was that not blowing shofar on Shabbos is a din daraisa. But maskana, it's only a rabban. How do they have the right to tell me? So the Rajba says, and so Gemara Yivama said, they have the right to tell me because Shaval Tasa. But the Rashba says, one second, Baba Bal Tigra, how the rabbis the right to tell me don't blow shofar? Aren't you violating Bal Tigra? So he says, oh, the answer is my chiddush. There's no Bal Tigra, no Bal Tosef, legitimate din rabbanan. How would you have answered that question? How the rabbis tell you don't blow shofar on Shabbos? It's Bal Tigra. Shaval Tasa, the Gemara says it. Yevamos Daf Tzadi, the Rashba knows that Gemara very well. So what type of question is that? How is it Baal Tigra? The answer is obvious. The answer is not the Rashba's Chiddush. The answer is the Gemara says Shaval Tasa. Well, Chanan points out, you know what that means? For starters, the first thing that tells me is that the Rashba thought that violating the mitzvah of Yom Tru'i Yilachem, the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, that's Shaval Tasa. But violating Baal Tigra, that's not Sheval Tasa. But why? You're just not blowing shofar. The answer is that the Raja apparently understood that Sheval Tasa doesn't mean being physically passive as opposed to being physically active. The Rajva understood that Sheva Al Tasa means Chacham can tell you to be mevatel a mitzvah, but not to violate an Issa. While the Rosh, we'll look at next time, disagrees. And that's the first step in exploring and deepening understanding of Akira's Davar Min HaTorah for Sheva Al Tasa. The first step is how you define Sheva Al Tasa. We'll see that the Baya Tosis thought it meant literally Sheva Al Tasa being physically passive. While the Rashba said, no. It means violating a mitzvah versus doing an avera. Step one is, what does Sheva Al Tasa mean? Step two will be, and why is that true? What does that tell you about how Akira's Davar B'Sheva Al Tasa, why is Sheva Al Tasa different than Kumbas, eh? And that area will open up a lot in terms of our sugya and beyond. Enjoy your lunch, Chevra. I will see you tonight in Mirtz Hashem. The kiosk is after lunch. And Mishmar tonight downstairs in the annex, in the rooms across from the base medrash at 6:00.